With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Kawhi has it with time for the tie. Get in there, baby. And the rebound secured by the San Antonio Spurs. Boy, the Spurs were tough.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday morning. We've got all your Tuesday night action from the NBA right here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. That's Mo Dakhil. That's Andrew Schleck pushing buttons. Don't miss exclusive in-depth coverage of the craziest sports years we've ever experienced by subscribing to The Athletic, theathletic.com/dailyding. Gets you a full access subscription for just $3.99 a month. That's cheaper than a fancy cup of coffee. That's theathletic.com/dailyding, $3.99 a month. Coming up on today's show, Bogdan Bogdanovic opened up to Sam Amick and gave an amazing pun. The Nets stopped the music in Brooklyn and the Blazers still can't win. But first, Lakers 94, Grizzlies 92 in Memphis. And Mo, this one should not have been as close, because no Ja Morant, no Jaren Jackson Jr. Lakers were kind of on cruise control, but they did just enough to win this game. LeBron James turned on the second half. He kind of took over down the stretch of the fourth quarter. Dylan Brooks tried his best to defend him. There just wasn't anything he could do. LeBron's just too big, too good. And the Lakers kind of sleepwalked their way to a victory.
Yeah, I mean, look, it should not be close at all. They should have crushed this team, especially the second time they were playing them, in the little mini series that we have going on these days. And, it took LeBron kind of just going off in the second half, Zach, like 21 points of his 26, 9-12 of shooting. Like, he just had to go ballistic. And honestly, I just felt bad for Dylan Brooks, because he was playing good defense and LeBron was hitting fadeaways. Yeah, it was just like, I don't know if there's anything else Dylan Brooks can do. If somebody wants to be upset with him, he should just look at them and go, well, then you guard him. Listen, there's nothing else I can do.
Right. Well, that was the thing. I think I tweeted that at some point. I was like, yo, I don't know what else he could have done. And someone said, grow a foot. I'm like, yeah, I guess if he'd grown a foot in that possession, he would have been able to take care of him. But LeBron, just too big and too good in that one. It was oddly close at the end, right? Like, I think the Lakers went up like 6 or 8 points in that final minute, and then all of a sudden it was a 2-point game.
Yeah, no, it was really weird, because it was like they're up six, you're thinking this thing is over, you just got inbounded, knocked down your free throws, we're all going home, we're all chilling and relaxing. No, the Lakers couldn't bring the ball up, Zach, on two consecutive possessions, and the next thing you know, it's a 3-point game. And I was just like, uh-oh, this might get interesting real quickly. And you got to give Memphis a lot of credit, man. They've been fighting with all these injuries, everything that they have. They've been in a lot of these games. Even the first game of this series, they were in there until, the second half when the Lakers started to go. And, it's just something like, I don't know if the Lakers were expecting to meet this energy or if they were just playing down to their opponent's level.
Yeah, and I just thought the Lakers were sloppy early. LeBron had a few turnovers early. They just weren't very sharp. And I don't know if that's not taking the Grizzlies serious. I don't know if that's just general, like, being lethargic. Like, I don't know what that was. But the Grizzlies, as you point out, like, last week when Ja Morant went down with that ankle injury, we found out 3 to 5 weeks, I was like, okay, they're toast. They're done. Right. And they've played great basketball as a team. And like, you're seeing Tyus Jones and Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton like do a good job of kind of keeping things moving, just as lead guards and initiators. You're seeing Jonas Valanciunas like play really well. You're seeing Dylan Brooks, kind of as a sniper here. Like, Gorgui Dieng had a really good game off the bench in this one. I don't think of this team as that deep, and maybe I should change that, because even without Ja and without Jaren Jackson Jr., this team is playing extremely well, and you're right, Taylor Jenkins is doing a great job.
Yeah, and I mean, we can't speak enough to just being able to keep these guys going and feeling motivated and things. And The hard thing though, Zach, is this is a lot of moral victories besides, you know, the it's like, it's nice, but it's like, these are moral victories and those don't get you in the playoffs. And that's why they need to find, you know, they need a hope that they can just sort of survive until Morant and Jackson come back and they can go on a bit of a run. But it's nervous time, but it's the other thing too, is teams got to come in there and be ready to play. Cause this team at the very least is going to be prepared,
you know, and
I know Taylor from my days with the Spurs when he was with the Austin Toros. He's going to have this team ready to go every night.
Wow, you guys hear that name drop from Mo right there?
I got plenty. I might do this all game. I might do this all night today on the thing. Good luck.
This would be the one for it, right? Between the plate. No Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for the Lakers. He was out with a sore ankle. As we mentioned, Lakers were sloppy. They had 17 turnovers, 18 points off those turnovers for Memphis. But LeBron did score 21 of his 26 in the second half, 9 of 12 during that second half. As Mo mentioned, the Lakers sweep the miniseries. For the Lakers, I do wonder how many of these games we may see in these little series where they probably don't have to try that hard. And I don't want to diminish what Memphis did. Memphis played well, but we do know, like, this Lakers team, especially with the Memphis injuries, they should blow this team out. They didn't do that. And last season, you know, they were pedal to the metal all season long. I don't know that they'll have that same mentality. They're kind of sleepwalking early on, even though they've been great.
Yeah, and I think some of this, too, is they're just trying to ease their way into the season, Zach. Like, I don't feel like they have the urgency, and I don't think they need to have that urgency of, like, we have to dominate from start to finish. Like, this is a team, we always talk about flipping the switch. This is a team that potentially has the switch, you know, that they can flip on when they're ready to play. And it's not just LeBron, but AD's been there. A bunch of these guys have been through it now in the finals. So you got to give them that kind of credit. And I just think they're going to ease their way through it. You know, they'll do just enough to win the games they need to win.
LeBron finished with 26, 11, and 7. That's 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Anthony Davis, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. Did have 4 turnovers. Lakers out-rebounded the Grizzlies 52-38, just too big for that Grizzlies team. 3 Grizzlies tied with 13 points. That was Dylan Brooks, Valanciunas, and Gorgui Dieng. The other team in LA, not quite as lucky as the Lakers tonight. Spurs 116, Clippers 113 in Los Angeles. Spurs jumped out to a huge lead, built an early 24-point lead in the first half. Clippers came storming back in the third with a monster 40-point quarter. But Mo, it seemed like, you know, they had all that momentum going into the fourth quarter. They put up 40 points in the third. They get it to, I think it was within 1 going into that fourth quarter. It gets tied at 85. Then all of a sudden, the Spurs just, you know, Rudy Gay, guys making plays, all of a sudden go on a 12-0 run. And now the Clippers have to claw their way back into this one.
Yeah, and I think it's just I don't know what to think, actually, Zach, with this Clipper team here a little bit. I think it got a little weird there. I think they felt like once they were able to tie the game that, okay, we're going to be able to take over now because Kawhi was rolling. Everybody kind of had a good rhythm. Pat Beverly was hitting shots. But, you know, the Spurs, I love the Spurs team. I don't know how good they are. I don't know how many wins they're going to get, but they're fun to watch. You know, they're going to play hard. They have a fun mix of young talent with Murray, with Johnson, and then some veterans like Patty Mills, Aldridge, and DeRozan. So, like, it's just one of those things where this Spurs team, who had lost 4 in a row before coming in here, were like, we're not losing tonight.
Yeah, not losing tonight. And the Clippers, I mean, Clippers kind of, you know, much like the Grizzlies, Clippers came out of nowhere to cut this thing. Like, it looked like this was done, right? Like, the Spurs were up 9, and then all of a sudden Clippers get a little bit of momentum. They cut it down to 2, I think. Patty Mills gets fouled on a rebound. He goes to the free throw line. He had a great night, but he goes just 1 of 2 from the free throw line. Luke Kennard missed a great look. Kawhi Leonard missed a 3 at the buzzer. But it looked like the Clippers were about to steal this one.
Yeah, I mean, Kennard missed an amazing
great
look. I mean, Kawhi does a great job, drives baseline, looks like he's stuck a little bit, and finds Kennard just a little bit off of the top of the 3-point line. And, I mean, Zach, I thought it was cash. When that shot went up, I was just like, oh, okay, they're going to take a 1 point. Oh, no, they're not. And then, of course, Patrick Beverley fouls Patty Mills and acts like he didn't do it. Although on the replay, he just blatantly shoves the guy in the back, Zach. And I'm, listen.
He shoved him so hard.
It wasn't even like somewhat like you can kind of like he tried to hide it. It was literally like he wanted to. It looked like something I saw on Cobra Kai. Like he literally just shoved him straight in the back. And and then looked at the refs going like, I didn't touch him.
Spoiler alert for Cobra Kai, by the way. As someone who was the master of flopping on a rebound, like I could always do a great job of pretending that I got pushed in the back, get a cheap foul call, and it pissed the opponents off. As someone who was great at that, I can tell you I look for that. No, Pat just flat out shoved him 2 hands. Like it was not.
It wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. You should get a technical. The referee should get the TU up for that.
No, I mean, I even thought, like, when Luke missed that shot, I was shocked. And then I even thought, like, Kawhi's shot was tough at the end, right? It's kind of this fading to his right look on the right wing. But even that, I was just like, oh, Kawhi's going to hit this. Like, I was sure that thing was going to overtime.
Yeah, it was definitely a it's about as good a look as you can get in that scenario, right? Like, it was super congested. He's able to get the shot off and just bounced out. But like, this just goes to show you can't start the way the Clippers did. I mean, they got jumped from the very beginning of this game. And even though they were able to tie it, it's like, if they can just start a little bit better, they'd be going home with the win. And, you know, just so you know, Zach, this is my two former teams. One of my favorite coaches in Coach Popovich, who I also worked for, and then Ty Lue, who when I was with the Clippers was the defensive coordinator with the Clippers. So I'm going to do this name dropping thing for quite a while tonight.
That's good. I got to, you know, I'll just try to mark where all these names are dropped on the floor and we'll pick them up later. By the way, Pop's hair is out of control. You mentioned how fun the Spurs team is, and I can't get a handle on them ever since Kawhi left. Ever since Kawhi got traded, like whenever I think they're good, they play poorly. Whenever I think they're bad, they play well. And so like, I've just given up trying to figure out this Spurs team. But this is the fastest, well, not the fastest. This is the team from Pop with the most fast break points per game. I think it's like 15 and a half fast break points per game. Highest of any Popovich team ever. They had 26 fast break points tonight. Like that was the thing that got them out into that lead, is any long miss, any short miss, any turnover, they were out running. Cause you're right, these young guys love to run.
Yeah. And this is also a credit to Pop. Like we've seen a lot of coaches who just get stuck in their ways. Pop's been with this team forever. And you can look at it, if you go through the years, the different styles in which they've played. They played a post-heavy offense when Tim was there. Then when Tony and Manu were coming off, they went into a lot more pick-and-roll stuff. And now they're going into this little fast-paced offense kind of thing. It's fun to watch. And I just think it's a credit to Pop's ability to sort of evolve and adapt with the game. So I got to give a little love to one of my favorites, Zach.
There you go. Patty Mills did finish with 27 points, knocked down 8 3-pointers, choked a little bit at the line at the end there, but they managed to escape. DeJounte Murray, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. For the Clippers side of it, Kawhi Leonard was kind of out there alone in terms of stardom. No Paul George in this one. But I did like what I saw out of Nicholas Batum. Nicholas Batum had a great game. He had what? He had 20 points or 21 points, 8 of 12 from the field. Kawhi finished with 30 points, 10 assists. And Patrick Beverley, despite that shove, did shoot the lights out. He's 6 of 9 from 3 for 20 points on there. From the Clippers, you know, aside from getting down, a little concerning, not just that they got down, but the three-point shooting, right, for the Spurs. Spurs hit 20 three-pointers. It's just the second time in team history that the Spurs have hit 20 three-pointers in a game. By the way, they're 2-0. Maybe do that more, Pop. But I want to see a little bit tighter. And it's tough without Paul George out there. But I just want to see a tighter defense on the perimeter from them.
Yeah, I mean, we want to see that improve. And like you said, no Paul George. They went to a zone for a while, and I thought that actually really helped them kind of work their way back into this game. And I thought that was interesting to see because we saw some of it last year with Doc, but not a lot. But Ty Lue not afraid to jump into it. But I want to touch on the Batum thing because he's been great all year.
Yeah, that's a nice pickup.
Yeah, and that was – I kind of thought when they picked him up, I just kind of shrugged and said, okay. You know, because I didn't know how much he had left, considering we barely saw him in Charlotte. And he's made a huge difference for them, where I'm very curious to see what happens when Marcus Morris comes. I know how much they paid him, but do they start him or do they stick with Batum?
Yeah, I think they'll stick with Batum, but actually, I mean, they've got time to play around with the combinations of rotations. Maybe they will go to Marcus at some point.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Bogdan Bogdanovic was in the news on Tuesday, thanks to Sam Amick of The Athletic, who had a great sit-down and a great sort of tell-all with Bogdan that included one point where he said, it's not the part that you were traded, which bothered him, but it's more like you feel a little betrayed. That's I hacked Bogdan Bogdanovich's brain, but in all this from Sam Amick and Bogdan Bogdanovich, who is now of the Atlanta Hawks, talking about just the failed sign and trade between the Kings and the Bucks, that was a lot of eyes on that deal because it happened 5 days before free agency opened when it was reported from ESPN. It was very confusing, but it seems to be there have been a lot of stories around this failed move. A lot of people wondered if it would cost them Giannis. No, Giannis signed the Supermax extension, so not that big of a deal. But still, if you looked at this Bucks team with Bogdan Bogdanovich, that's very enticing, right? That's a very intriguing combination to throw him into the mix as well. Also from Sam Amick in this report, there were Bucks officials fuming privately at the notion that they'd been double-crossed during the confusing affair, with Bogdanovich's camp insisting all along that he had never agreed to join the Bucks. It's a lot of he said here, Mo.
Yeah, and first let's start with the pun, because I feel like that hurt you a little bit.
No, I was so proud of him. Kidding me?
Well, it also makes me realize, too, that, man, like, you and him probably could just hang out all the time because of how much you guys love puns.
I mean, I appreciate it, man, especially when you think about this, like, this is his second language, at least, maybe third. I don't know how many languages he speaks, but I know English is not his first. Like, he nailed that pun.
No, he didn't. Stop it. No, he didn't.
Absolutely know that pun. Do you think this story is going to go away at some point? Like, is there much more that can be told of it? Or is this kind of just like, all right, it happened. We've had failed deals before. Everyone's got to move on.
It only, I think, sticks around if there's new information. If somebody actually has the actual contract or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's the only where, like, this is actually the definitive piece. I think we're all kind of waiting for Bogdanovich's side. You know, we kind of heard a little bit from the Bucks, we've heard a little bit from the Kings, and we were waiting for this. And now that that has happened, I feel like this story's pretty much over and it's time to move on.
Speaking of trying to move on, James Harden, if he wants to be a Miami Heat, Houston Rockets want more than Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. It's significantly more than Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, which, like, yeah, of course, right, Mo? Like, that's... It's always going to be way more than those guys, right? Like, they're going to, you know, the Rockets are going to ask for Bam Adebayo. Now, that's not going to happen, but that's who they're going to ask for. Like, they're going to say, no, we want all your draft picks and we want all your young guys, including Bam. And that's what it's going to take to get James Harden. But we have seen Harden really expand this list. And Miami was on the list early, but at some point, you got to feel like a deal is going to get done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for Houston to get back on the list, though.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, but like
they can't play the Kings every night, Mo.
If only they could. listen, and Miami fans who were sitting there going like, we wouldn't trade Hero for Harden. Like, you may not, but that guy Pat Riley understands what James Harden could do, and would do it in a second. And it's going to cost more. We know all that stuff. That list is growing constantly. It'll be interesting, Zach, because I don't think the Rockets are going to be any rush. They're going to wait to see what the best offers are. And here's one thing I'm going to throw out there. I won't be shocked, and this is just me throwing out crazy stuff, folks. So I wouldn't be shocked if Bradley Beal gets moved before James Harden.
Ooh, man! If they lose, although they won a couple in a row, but if they keep losing, yeah, we may see some pressure there out of Washington D.C. Dante Exum, who left with a non-contact lower leg injury earlier this week, is out 1 to 2 months with a calf strain, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. That's great news, Mo, considering what it looked like Dante had done. It looked like he had popped that Achilles, right? Looked back on the injury. It looked bad. So to find out 1 to 2 months for a guy, especially who's been as snake bitten with injuries as he has, like that's good news.
Yeah, I mean, we went from it being a potential year to 1 to 2 months. That's a win.
That's definitely a win.
No injury would obviously be ideal, but if there's going to be an injury, we'd rather that than the being out a year. So just happy to see that. And hopefully he can just kind of get back and get healthy again.
Other games from Tuesday, Nets 130, Jazz 96 in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant out for 4 games due to COVID protocol. Kyrie went off, 29 points. Jared Allen in the start over DeAndre Jordan dominated Rudy Gobert, the $205 million man, with 19 points, 18 rebounds. He dunked on him. He had steals. He had blocks. I don't think we're going to see, well, I should say we shouldn't be seeing DeAndre Jordan start over Jared Allen anytime soon.
Shouldn't have seen it in the first place.
Right. He's so much better. I don't get what they're doing.
I'm sorry.
I get why it's happening. He's friends with KD and Kyrie, but come on, man. This team's so much better.
And look, man, I love DeAndre Jordan. I worked with him when I was with the Clippers. I was there for his rookie year. Zach, I actually beat him in a game of one-on-one.
Nuggets 123, Wolves 116 in Denver. Nikola Jokic, 35 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, as he and the Nuggets survived the revenge games from Juan Hernan Gomez, who had 25 points, and Jared Vanderbilt, who was all over the place in a good way playing against Jokic. D'Angelo Russell had 33 points, 11 assists, but Wolves could not come out of there with a victory. Still no Karl Anthony Towns. Looks like he will be out until at least they get back from being out on the road, which should be a couple of games from now. Blazers lose to the Bulls. Bulls 111. Blazers 108 in Portland. Zach LaVine hit the dagger, sort of. We still got some some shots towards the end. Dame tried to make it close, tried to steal that win, but the Bulls were able to dodge the bullets there to get the win. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists from Kobe White. And that is going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. Of course, the Athletic NBA show. We had Basketball Buds on Monday, Tampering on Tuesday. We'll have Hoops Adjacent here on Wednesday, Point of Contention on Thursday, Nerdishy Road on Friday. Don't forget about No Dunks. You got to listen to No Dunks, listen to House of Strauss, listen to all the team-specific shows available on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you comment, subscribe, review, leave good vibes on those podcasts, because we don't need comment sections to be angry. That's not what you need. And of course, theathletic.com/dailyding, $3.99 a month for a subscription. Thanks for waking up with this. Thank you for voting. Thank you for wearing a mask. Thank you for staying socially distanced. Thank you for all that stuff. Let's try to get through this. Let's try to get vaccinated. And Mo, hit me with the sign.
Ding, ding.